This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9-1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator. Roll with the sausage breakfast burrito. Buddy it up with a honey buddy. Or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes. And then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, our third and final, live right here on the early line on Sports Grid on this Thursday. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Blockbuster deal in the National Football League yesterday. And now the conversation already in early April is about next February in true Super Bowl contenders for the Lombardi Trophy. After Stephon Diggs is dealt to Houston, are the Texans exactly that? A Super Bowl contender. We'll talk about it up next. Craig Mish will join us in our next segment to go all around Major League Baseball. The team he covers most closely, the Miami Marlins, winless, 0-7. Is it already over in April? We'll ask Craig up next. We'll go around the Daily Diamond Dash. DRS will talk WOBA and ISO power numbers to preview the slate in MLB. And then we'll look with the two premier NBA handicappers on this network, myself and Donnie Wrightside, at the NBA slate, a five-game slate on this Thursday night with just a week and a half left in this NBA regular season. How does that sound for a third and final hour?
Sounds fantastic here, getting into Major League Baseball. By the way, just a little quick snippet from yesterday. The Philadelphia Phillies are supposed to play a 1 o'clock game against the Cincinnati Reds. That got pushed back to basically 8 o'clock last night. And the reason being is they had a day off on Thursday, Ben. But why couldn't they play at Citizens Bank Ballpark? The Phillies will never tell you this, but they're supposedly Citizens Bank Ballpark was booked for a wedding on a Thursday. Yeah. They'll never tell you that. But wild times already in Major League Baseball. Who's booking stadiums in April with bad weather? Oh, my goodness. Don't get me going. Let's go. Hour number three. What else do you want?
I can only imagine the true hate and vitriol in your heart for what you just detailed right there. Let's make sure that Sports Grid radio audience is here. Sirius XM Channel 159, all of our radio terrestrial affiliates. As soon as I saw that yesterday on social media, that the Phils, with all the rain we have seen over the past 2 days in the Northeast, could not play a potential makeup game on a scheduled off day because in April, during the regular season, had all fall. All winter, even if you really wanted to get married at the bank, booked a wedding for Thursday, April 4th.
How big is that wedding?
I can only imagine.
Man.
What?
How big is the wedding? I mean, how many people are on that?
I don't know.
What's that going to cost? My goodness. Father the bride.
How many people showed up to Donnie Wrightside's wedding? How big was the guest list?
I think I want to say it was 50 or 60, but we had a destination wedding in Miami Beach. So if you could come partake, you did come partake. Got married right on the beach, man. That's the only way to do it, man. Come on now.
What? I don't know what I expected you to say, but it wasn't a destination wedding on the beach in Miami. Band or DJ?
Yeah. DJ, of course. Got to go with the DJ. Also had an Eagles cake as one of the cakes there. So how about that? Tremendous, man. Wife hooked it up.
You got to take it. Set up the Fade the Public poll. I need a minute.
Look, we're going to set up the Fade the Public poll here right now. Look, you want to get, but we could do a new podcast coming around. You want to talk about my personal life, how I got married, where I got married. I mean, we could certainly do that here, but we're here to promote the network, which means reaching out to the people at Sports Grid TV
our
account after trading for Stephon Diggs and the Texans Super Bowl contenders. 63% bet said absolutely they're contenders, and I was part of that 63%. I'm looking forward to what we have. And by the way, could you have maybe the number two overall quarterback in the sport so early in his career be C.J. Stroud? If that's the case, man, toe-to-toe with the Chiefs in the AFC. Let's go. I said yes here.
So you said yes. I said no. And I say no because I don't think the Texans are a – listen, they should win the AFC South. But there's a lot of expectation on a team that under a rookie quarterback and a rookie head coach so overperformed on expectation, they are built to do that again. But are they with the Chiefs and the Ravens? So you said that to end out the second hour, DRS, that are they a Super Bowl favorite? No, they're not the 49ers at a 5-1 price. They're not the Chiefs at plus 650. They're not even the Ravens at a 9-1 number. Those are the three teams that have the three prices with three digits in their number. But you said, are they a true Super Bowl contender? Yes. My question would be, I believe a true Super Bowl contender or a conference championship contender is a team that you would bet their number right here, right now. So would you do that for the Houston Texans, theoretically?
Here's the problem with it, Ben. It's so new that it happened yesterday where I'm still digesting like how good the Texans can be. And if you hear anything I'm saying here on the past couple shows we've done since this news has broken, I really like what I see out of the Texans. I'm buying into them. But if you tell me right now, like, hey, let's spread around some dollars here on who you think can win the Super Bowl, to be quite honest, the Texans wouldn't get my money today. Now, I might talk myself in over the next couple months to what they can do. And I love the trajectory, as I keep using that term, for the franchise. That arrow certainly is going up. Contenders means they're going to be a playoff team in the mix that you wouldn't be surprised if they made a deep run. And I voted yes on that. But if you're asking me today, betting the Texans to win the Super Bowl, knowing that the Kansas City Chiefs and also the Cincinnati Bengals with Joe Burrow and also Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens still play in that same conference, right, I can't do that today. Love what I see out of them. But if I'm saying today, holding up the Lombardi as C.J. Stroud, I would be mildly surprised, to say the least, if that's the case here. But a contender, yes.
And that's the debate, right? Where the Houston Texans are right now, and maybe you're not trying to bet a 15-1 number that would not be realized, at least with profitability, until at least mid-January. Mm-hmm. But I do think you bring up a good point about what is a true contender versus a Super Bowl favorite. Are the Texans right there lockstep with the Chiefs or the Ravens? I think that is debatable. I would say no at the moment. Are they a peg behind? Are they now in front of the Buffalo Bills, the team they traded with yesterday for Stephon Diggs? Are they in front of the Bengals and Joe Burrow? I would say maybe they're there, but I'd still trust Joey B and Cincinnati fully healthy than a fully healthy C.J. Stroud, even with Stephon Diggs now as one of his key pieces. But you do bring up another really good point, DRS. We say this every time, whether it's April, November, September, January. How do you paint the path to a conference championship, thus a Super Bowl appearance? You win a division. You win a division of the National Football League, you are guaranteed a home playoff game. The Texans are now a plus 110 favorite, $1.70 in front of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And that, I think, first and foremost, is key to win the AFC South for a second straight year.
Exactly. And what do you want to do? And what comes with the, to the victors go the spoils, right? You win your division, you get a home playoff game. You saw that play out in spades last year as they absolutely wrecked the Cleveland Browns before getting beat eventually by the Baltimore Ravens. So you took the step last. And also, Ben, this isn't one of those teams like, oh man, they just missed out on the playoffs last year. Let's see what they can do. They got that taste of the playoffs.
Right.
C.J. Stroud was humbled a little bit in that game number two of his playoff career, which is rightfully so. There are steps that you must take before you become an NFL champion. And also you must be in those types of environments going, you know what? I'm going to learn from my mistakes here. And that entire team should, as well as their head coach, D'Amico Ryans, who is still young in the game here as a head coach. I love what I see out of the Houston Texans. And maybe they will surprise them. Maybe they'll even add on in free agency in the draft. Yeah. We said, like, boy, this is far and away the best team down there in the AFC South. Like what I see, contender, yes. Will I be betting on them right now? Just not yet, Ben.
Not just the team price as well. C.J. Stroud now tied for the third best number to win the NFL MVP award next year at 10-1 alongside Joe Burrow. Around Major League Baseball, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Daily Basis is officially back as we go around Major League Baseball on a daily basis. The bases on a daily basis. You get it? That's the joke. All right, Craig Mitch is here on this Thursday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Ben. He is Donnie. And the man in the middle is our MLB insider and the host of Newswire starting at 11 a.m. Eastern time, Craig Mitch. Craig, thank you for taking the time to join us on this Thursday.
I mean, I thought it was the joke was going well there, Ben, for a bit.
Thanks.
You know, it went off the rails a little bit. Yeah, for a bit.
Yeah, I just wanted to explain. I feel like sometimes, Craig, we say things here on the Spiz Grizz Network, and they seem like they're inside jokes. So I just want to make sure our viewers are always in the know. That's why I tried to spell out the joke, which everybody loves. Daily bases, all that good stuff. All right, enough of the jokes. Let's talk actual baseball. And, Craig, the team that you cover most closely, of course, is the Miami Marlins, who have not won a game despite playing seven of them to start off this 2024 Major League Baseball season. An 0-7 start after a 10-2 defeat yesterday at home against the Los Angeles Angels. Craig, how do you describe what the reason is for Miami's very slow start this season?
Combination of a lot of factors. I would say probably most important to me is, you know, when your pitchers are only going four innings or five innings and you're forced to go to the bullpen over and over again, eventually that's going to catch up with you. And it happened, you know, pretty much right from the first two games of the season. Generally speaking, last year, one of the strengths of the Marlins was their bullpen. And that has not been a strength for them this year. The players who they brought in have not done the job for them. And so, therefore, the close games that they won last year, they're losing this year. Remember, bullpen arms, while they may be good and they may be major leaguers, there's a reason why they're not starting and they're in the bullpen. So, generally speaking, your best pitchers are going to be starting. So that's been a huge factor. You know, the hitting has not been there. They seem to have this approach to swing at the first pitch. They're hitting a lot of balls on the ground. Teams are playing good defense. There's really no excuses. When you play the Pirates and Angels in the first seven games at home, I mean, those are two teams that are not projected to go to the postseason. I mean, you could go 1-6, 2-5, and we could be talking about how it's early. But, you know, right now they got to go play St. Louis for three, and then they got to go play New York, the Yankees, and then Atlanta. So, you know, I'm sort of afraid that this is going to be a lost season in April for them. They're going to have to turn it around real quick.
You take a look at the Marlins, too, because the pressure gets ratcheted up in any business. I mean, even walking around the front office of the players, like, hey, we're 0-7. We got to get a victory here. But also from a perspective of the Marlins, who Derek Jeter left the franchise, Kim Ng stepped down as general manager. Where does that leave the Marlins right now? Is there a power vacuum there, Craig? Or moving forward at 0-7, is anybody panicking? Or maybe even changes on the horizon this early in the season?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question, Donnie. You know, I was in the middle of a fantasy draft on Saturday for Mike Cardano, and there were some players he really didn't like that I was taking, and I felt the pressure ratcheting up, and eventually I had to cave into taking several members of the New York Mets. So I know exactly what you're saying here, and look at the Mets start there. Yeah, I mean, I'm there with you. As far as the Marlins are concerned, I sort of think going into the season, they may have suspected that they were not going to be as good as they were last year. And the signals were sort of sent from the front office when the only acquisition they made, Donnie, off a playoff season was acquiring Tim Anderson to a one-year deal to sort of fill the gap because they did not have a shortstop. They really did not do anything else. And then you already knew their top pitcher, Sandy Alcantara, was going to be out for the season. He's thrown 600 innings the last 3 years. That's the most in baseball. They replaced him with no one. Yuri Perez went down. Braxton Garrett went down. Edward Cabrera went down. They replaced them with no one. So at the end of the day, what did you really think was going to be? Now, look, 0-7 against two teams you're supposed to beat a couple of times. I mean, that's a little stunning. I would agree with that. But a lot of people, Donnie, have asked me that question, and I'm not all that surprised. Generally speaking, as far as, like, trades and, like, dumping players, no matter what the scenario is, it seems like, Donnie and Ben, like, that doesn't really happen in April and May. It seems like you get to Memorial Day, you look at your record, and then you stop making excuses. And then you do what you got to do. And I think the same thing is going to happen here. They're going to look at it. They're going to say in 2003, the Marlins were 10 games under 500. They won the World Series. The Nationals under 500. They won the World Series. You know, that's kind of what you say when you're in this spot. You say, hey, you know, you never know. It's April. But look, I mean, initially the writing is on the wall. It does not appear to be a very good baseball team.
So, Craig, quick follow-up here before we go to the team that beat the Marlins yesterday in the Angels, who are off to a 4-2 start. Can a 162-game season for the Miami Marlins actually be done in only 7 games?
No, I don't think so. But I think that there's some alarming play from some of the players on the team. I think defensively they've struggled a lot also. And when you trade a good utility guy like John Birdie, I know they picked up a guy from Arizona yesterday, so he'll help. But they, generally speaking, don't have great defense even going into the season. I don't think it is over for them by any stretch, but I can't sit here and say that they're going to somehow get to 84 or 85 wins after starting off 0-7. That's like almost impossible for me to say. But, you know, in the end, stranger things have happened in baseball. But I think that, Ben, when you get out of the next couple of series, if you see them go to St. Louis and get swept, and then you see them go to New York and get swept, they start off the season, if that's the case, they're 0-13 or 0-14.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no coming back from that. But 7, I think there's coming back from. It's just a matter of what we're talking about. Is it talking about being competitive the rest of the season? That's possible. About making the postseason this year? I don't foresee that. But as far as having a competitive year starting 0-7, I think that can happen.
All right, so now to the Halos that won 10-2 yesterday in Miami. Craig, we both were on the under of 72.5 wins for this Angels team after the departure of Shohei Ohtani this offseason. Not a great start for the under, Craig. What do you make of the Halos beginning of this year?
They're really bad. They're really bad. This is not a good team. Yeah. They're really bad. It's not a good team. They caught Miami at the right time. Going into the series, every metric, both pitching and offense, showed that they were at the bottom of the barrel in the American League. So I don't foresee the Angels being very good. They just, you know, got the Marlins right place, right time. In the end, I still feel very confident in that.
Okay, good.
Not winning very many baseball games here for the Angels. We didn't anticipate that for the season, which also ratchets up. I wish, actually, we were 0-6, 0-7 on the Angels, because then the heat would just turn on that franchise when you get rid of Mike Trout and opening up that market here. We'll have to wait a little bit longer on that if they decide to move on. But let's talk a look about the Mets. They haven't won a baseball game either. And also, when you haven't won games and you're getting rained out on a day-to-day basis, that agony of, boy, we just got to get out there and win a baseball game. A doubleheader today for the Mets in that position again. Again, not at 0-7 like the Marlins, but you want to get a win. How devastating it would be for the Mets if they lose both heads of the doubleheader today at home and drop to 0-6. The Mets, what's going on up there, Craig?
Yeah, I think this is the perfect scenario for the Mets today, because the one thing in baseball you almost never see, especially early in the season, is one team winning both ends of the doubleheader. So you would assume that the Mets are going to get their first win today. On the flip side, guys, hey, how about the Tigers getting off to a nice start here? 4-0 on the season. You know, Skubal at the start, and now Mize and Manning, I believe, are pitching the two ends of this. So they're starting to get these pitchers back. They're hitting the ball pretty well. You know, Mets will get it going. It's not a team that you're particularly worried about, but definitely optimistic start for the Tigers, and their fans have been wanting this now for years. They've been stuck in the mud now. It seems like they're digging their way out of it.
A 12:11 p.m. Eastern time start, so just under 2 hours away at Citi Field. Adrian Hauser gets the start for the Amazons. They're actually booked as a home moneyline favorite against Casey Mize and Detroit. It's not exactly warm weather by any means today in the greater New York City area. Just something to keep an eye on with some scattered showers as well. Craig, quickly here in the final 30 seconds, are the Mets a playoff team this year?
I don't think so, but I think they'll be competitive. I think their win total somewhere around the 75 to 85 range. A team that's not afraid to add players if they need to, but I think it's probably a mediocre team, but they'll be more competitive than what they've shown. I'm not particularly worried about them. Same with the Astros, too. You know, so a few teams get off to bad starts, you don't worry about.
Yeah, we're not too worried about the Astros. 4 of the 5 losses for the Stros by 2 runs or less. Craig Mish, what a great breakdown. We'll see you on Newswire in just about 40 minutes. More around Major League Baseball next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line. Just a six-game slate in Major League Baseball on this getaway day Thursday, or off-day Thursday for most around MLB. But we have two of the six games at the same place at Citi Field up in Flushing. It's the Mets and the Tigers. Opening game of the doubleheader. It's Casey Mize on the bump for the Tigers. On the other side for the New York Mets, it's Adrian Hauser. 0-4 for the Amazons. 4-0 for the Tigers. What do you think is more likely, DRS? At the end of today, the Tigers are 6-0. The Mets are 0-6. Or they split the doubleheader.
Yeah, it's probably split the doubleheader. We just talked about Craig. I mean, even in, throughout the entirety of the regular season, very good team versus very bad team. It's rare that you do get a – it's not rare that you get a split. It's usually rare that you actually get somebody that's going to dominate through those two games, because how does it usually play out, Ben, right? Win game one, yeah. Okay, we can rest some of our players for game two and our bullpen's going to be a little bit at ease. But if you win game one and you just threw your closer, it's a pretty good chance you're going to throw your closer in the second game to close that one out easier. So it is harder to win both ends of that. So I do expect a split coming in New York today.
4-0 for Detroit, 0-4 for New York. Again, it is not necessarily beautiful weather here in the greater New York City area. It is freezing. You would not know it is the opening week of April, and there are some scattered showers expected throughout this afternoon, so hopefully we can play both of the two games on the slate today between Detroit and New York. Casey Mize, a promising young pitcher for the Tigers, and yet the Mets are booked as of right now as the money line favorite in both of those games. DRS, that total for both games, 7.5. Here we are still in early April in the Northeast. How much are you looking at the weather when it comes to the total offensive output for both of these games in the doubleheader today?
Oh, a lot at that point, too, because even though you have cooler temperatures here, and we know the ball doesn't travel as far, you still want to take a look at the windy conditions, because let's just say it's 45 degrees at first pitch, which we're anticipating today, which is very cold for Major League Baseball season, but a wind blowing in double digits from left field certainly doesn't help out. Now, granted, it's not a high school baseball field where there's no grandstands in the outfield, and if the wind really is blowing in from left field, there's a big impact. Sometimes we don't have that in these stadiums, because when you take a look at Citi Field, it's really, you know, barricaded in for left field there. There's not some big open territory out. So I don't think the wind is going to be that big of a disadvantage. But again, 45 degrees, we're trying to take overs here. You take a look at the numbers for both of these games. As you said, 7.5 and 7.5. We're not expecting a great offensive output, and the weather has a lot to do with that.
So, DRS, as we have the four other games in Major League Baseball today, we have all five teams in the American League Central in action on this Thursday, including a couple of divisional duels. We start in Minnesota. Pablo Lopez gets the start for the Twins. They're a -154 home money line favorite in the Twin Cities. The Twins went on the road yesterday in Milwaukee. They were down 3-1 entering the seventh. They had a five-run seventh inning. They ended up winning 7-3 over the Brew Crew. Twins, Guardians. Cleveland off to a very good start as well here in this Major League Baseball season. Who wins today in Minneapolis?
Hey, take a look at Bybee on the mound here for the Guardians. And the one thing that we're going off of basically is last year's statistics. He was okay last year. ISO power numbers a little bit elevated here to right-handed batters. But against lefties here, he's a right-handed pitcher, which is interesting. He was absolutely dominant. And if we take a look at early season for the Minnesota Twins, a lot of these batters been like 10 at-bats against right-handed pitching. So not a lot to go off of. But the one thing that we do know early, the Minnesota Twins are having a power struggle here. ISO power numbers, you like to see that, Ben, 160, 170 or higher. Let's take a look at the nine that's expected to be in the lineup today. 083, 077, 100, 0, 0, 100, 143, 0, and 0. Not a lot of power here options for the Minnesota Twins at the plate. And again, looking at this ball game, 49 degrees at first pitch, Ben. Winds blowing in from right field at 11 miles an hour, so you're not going to get that boost of going out. Now, if we flip it over to the other side, Pablo Lopez was very good last year, dominating against right-handed bats, but almost the exact opposite early in the season for the Guardians' offense. They're having a power surge here. Only one player, Will Brennan, who has 17 at-bats against right-handed pitching this season, has a zero ISO power number. Everybody else, 211, 188, 250, 250, 200, 250, 286. So a power surge here for Cleveland. Maybe early going, and I know it's hard to look at statistics here. Maybe they have a slight advantage at the plate, but again, the better pitcher is Pablo Lopez.
The Guardians 5-2 to begin this season. They just won a game yesterday by blanking the Mariners in Seattle, 8-2. Zip on the other side for Minnesota. They are 3-2. Another American League Central Divisional duel tonight in Kansas City. The Royals booked as a home favorite, minus 174 against the Chicago White Sox. It has not been a great year for Chicago already, 1-4. The Royals not much better, though, at 2-4, but booked with the market working in their way as a home favorite tonight in KC. How do you break down the matchup?
How about this one? A balmy Kansas City tonight at 57 degrees. But again, the wind not helping us early in the season at any of these ballparks, blowing in from about 10 miles an hour to left field here. If we're lining up that Kansas City Royals offense, they have a couple guys here on a power surge. And take a look at Soroka from last year. He actually struggled here with right-handed batters and left-handed batters. Limited, though, only 145 batters he faced. But take a look at this. Against lefties, a 278 ISO. Righties, a 268 ISO. Weighted on base percentages last year against lefties, 365. Righties, a 415. Take a look at this lineup coming into play for Kansas City tonight. 438 through 18 at bats against right-handed pitching this season. That's Michael Garcia in that leadoff spot. And then you take a look at Bobby Witt Jr. 19 at bats, a 500 ISO power number. Salvador Perez has left the yard this year. 375 ISO. Melendez, 200. Velasquez, 300. Isbell, 333. If I'm looking at tonight's action, probably going to lean towards the Kansas City Chiefs, Kansas City Royals in this spot. Oh. The Chicago White Sox, bad team. Bad team overall, anyway.
Some interesting issues there in the greater Kansas City area for stadiums and teams and where everybody is playing.
Just
something to keep an eye on. I'm going to back the Royals as well. And as we look at the American League Central DRS, last year there was one team that finished above 500. It was the Twins. They won this division. There was optimism entering this year for Detroit. So far, so good. 4-0. The Guardians, 5-2. The Royals probably are not a playoff team in the American League, and yet they're not exactly going to be a pushover, and the White Sox are very, very bad. How do you look at the American League Central here in the early going of this Major League Baseball season?
Favorable, because when we typically look at the central divisions of both the American and the National League, they're almost like afterthoughts because you have real those power players and high payrolls on the West and East Coast of both of the Major League Baseball leagues. But the Detroit Tigers, 4-0 in the season, the Guardians, 5-2, the Twins, 3-2, and even the Royals, again, not playing great baseball. We don't have high expectations, but still being competitive at 2-4. And even the White Sox, who we think the bottom's going to fall out in 2024, still won a baseball game here this season. So I like what I see early on, but talking about contenders heading into October, probably not going to be the case. But the one thing we do know about Major League Baseball, you can't just shut out the Central. Even if, let's just say, the Tigers end up winning it and are under 500, if that's possible, they still go to the playoffs and they still have home field advantage in round number one. So one of those teams is going to have to be in the playoffs. Let's see who it's going to be. But I like the start overall for that division.
The Twins tied for the fifth best price at plus 950 right now to win the American League pennant alongside the Seattle Mariners. Then the Guardians have the next best number out of the AL Central at 25-1 to win the pennant, 31-1 on the Detroit Tigers. Monitor those numbers if this early going success for the division overall continues to be that way into the summer months. So the Pittsburgh Pirates started off a perfect 5-0, their best start as a franchise in four decades since 1983, but all good things, as we said at the start of the show, must come to an end. And that's what happened for the Buccos yesterday. They lose 5-3 against the Washington Nationals on the road in D.C. Today, though, Pittsburgh booked as a road favorite to make it a 6-1 start this year, minus 130 on that money line. Will the odds be correct by the time we reach the end of the game today in the nation's capital?
Yeah, we'll see what happens in this one, but you're probably thinking that Pittsburgh is a better overall team than Washington, even though both of these teams not having high expectations for the 2024 season. Weather conditions today, 51 degrees and a wind blowing out, hallelujah, to right field at 10 miles an hour. If we're looking at talent here, Josiah Gray probably would have had wanted to have a better opening day start than he did, but just based on last year's statistics, did struggle a little bit with lefty and righty batters. Today, coming into the game, limited at bats, obviously, as we know, early to start the season. O'Neill Cruz having a pretty good start, as well as Rowdy Tellez, only four at-bats through right-handed pitching so far this season. But if we're flipping it over to the opposite side and saying the matchups with Martin Perez, an okay pitcher last year, the one thing we do know through limited at-bats against left-handed pitching, the Nationals, their entire lineup sits at a zero ISO power number. That means nobody's getting base hits, and if they are, they're dribbling singles and winding up on first base here. So maybe slightly into the Pirates today, but an over 8.5, why not? Let's go for it. Come on.
Pirates have gone over in 5 of 6 games. The Nats have gone over in 4 of 5. The juice is on the over as well. Final game of the 6-game slate here in MLB. Can the Marlins get their first win of the year in 0-7? Start Miami on the road under the arch in St. Louis against the Cards. But St. Louis booked as a -156 money line favorite at the moment, with the market working their way, as you can see.
I mean, you would like to say yes at this point, that they're eventually going to get a win, but going on the road, yeah, sometimes like, hey, it's a little bit easier and the pressure is off here. There's a lot of pressure on the Marlins for getting a win before, let's just say, they lose 10 straight games. Weather conditions around 50 degrees with a 15-mile-an-hour crosswind today, so no real help, but technically blowing out to right field. Ryan Weathers, based on last year's statistics, he got pounded, Ben, from left-handed batters and right-handed batters. But again, here's the issue. Limited at-bats on the season for the St. Louis Cardinals. Every single person in their lineup against lefties, a zero ISO power number. So certainly not doing anything. Like, hey, that's something we can point to and think we can get some damage done. The Miami Marlins on the other side, they don't have a lot to cheer about either. At least there's 15 to 20 at bats for some of these guys against right-handed pitching. But Lance Lynn last year was not a very good pitcher. I don't know if we just said a little sooner or later they have to win. And maybe it is a toss-up today where the Marlins get that victory. Yeah. But just not a lot of back data here to support the findings of, yeah, the Marlins are going to win today.
Total is 8. The Marlins have gone over in 6 of 7 wins. The Cards, the favorites in the National League Central, but the only team at the moment of the 5 with a losing record. Now we go around the NBA on this Thursday up next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A shorter 5-game slate around the NBA on this Thursday evening, with about 5, 6, or 7 games left at most for all 30 teams around the association. Just a week and a half remains in this NBA regular season. Today is Thursday, Friday, Saturday. A week from Sunday is the end of the regular season before the postseason begins. First, the play-in tournament, seeds 7 through 10 in each conference before we get to the full playoffs a few nights after that. Big one out in the Western Conference tonight. Late night in Los Angeles. It's the game that highlights the marquee. Denver, 4-point road favorite in LA against the Clippers. Over under 221.5. The Nuggets battling for the top spot. Tied right now with Minnesota for that number one seed in the Western Conference. Both teams 53-23. So after tonight, Denver only 5 more games. The Clippers still have 7 more, including tonight. They're trying to hold on to that 4th spot in the Western Conference, a 2-game advantage at the moment over the Dallas Mavericks.
By the way, overnight line in this one, kind of interesting at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Ben. -1.5 as a favorite, as a road favorite here for the Nuggets over the Clippers. That's not ballooned up to around 4 here, which is interesting to point out, and a total of 221. So immediately when you think like, oh no, what's going on here? Somebody sitting out, somebody coming back to the lineup. Well, the Denver Nuggets have been a little bit shorthanded in their starting 5, but tonight I'm showing Jamal Murray, KCP, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, and Nikola Jokic in the starting lineup, which is great for them. So they should be full gas tonight. But looking at the Clippers starting lineup tonight, Ben, James Harden, Terrence Mann, Norman Powell, Paul George, and Ivica Zubac, which means Kawhi Leonard not suiting up. So reasoning behind that line move, one team getting fully healthy in the Nuggets, the other team not so much in the Clippers. And quite frankly, I never trust the Clippers. If both of these lineups were full go, I'm still taking the Nuggets at this spot, even though that line you could have gotten if you were awake, knowing what was going to happen with players playing tonight. And again, we don't know that officially till later on tonight. I still would be taking the Nuggets in this spot then.
Yeah, still think it's a good number on Denver. The Clippers are the worst underdog covering team in the NBA this year. 4-10 against the spread. Not all that many games as compared to teams that we have seen near the bottom. Detroit, Portland, San Antonio, Washington, so on and so forth, but 4-10 against the spread. When a good team is booked as an underdog and is not good even covering numbers, it goes to show they're an underdog for a reason. In fact, in the last 3 games for LA as a dog, 0-3 against the number. Again, I agree with the Denver Nuggets being a road favorite, especially if Kawhi Leonard is not out there. Nikola Jokic, the NBA MVP this year, -700 is the number. +165 to record a triple-double tonight. He has been on fire as of late. In a big game for Denver, trying to keep pace for that number one overall seed and home court advantage throughout the Western Conference postseason. Denver is 31-8 at home this year. Two teams have 30 wins at home or more. Boston, 33-3. Denver, 31-8. Only two more home games, though, coming for the Nuggets. Of course, they only have five more after tonight. DRS, at this point last week, when the Rockets were on their nine-game win streak, then 10 games, then 11 games, we thought, all right, maybe Houston is actually going to test Golden State for that 10th spot in the Western Conference standings, the fourth and final in the play-in tournament. It is slipping away. Partly because Golden State has been sensational. The Dubs have won five straight games, and since that 11-game win streak, the Rockets have dropped two in a row. Tonight, though, a chance for Houston to at least make things interesting. The Rockets, a 3.5-point home underdog against the Golden State Warriors. What's your preview?
Yeah, imbalance here throughout the markets here. The FanDuel Sportsbook coming up here with a 3.5-point number. Some outlets out here showing a 4.5-point number here, and that's a favorite for the road team, the Golden State Warriors. We take a look at this game, 228. Not a lot of movement at FanDuel, which is interesting to me, which means we're not going to have a lot of shakeups in the lineup come to play tonight. But as you pointed out, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, we're saying to us, I was like, my goodness, man, Steph Curry's answering questions at the postgame presser. Like, I don't have any answers to this. We're not playing great basketball. If we don't get it together, we're not even going to be in the play-in round because of how good the Houston Rockets were playing. Fast forward a week and a half. This is what championship organizations do. Hey, guys, like, can we flip the switch and just get it together here for the remaining parts of maybe the final 10 games of the season and get in the playoffs? They've done exactly that. And the Houston Rockets have come back down to earth. They're not going to win 9 of the very 10 games you play heading down the stretch when other teams also are jockeying for position. But I think we can all agree on this. The Warriors on the road against Houston. Houston is a dog at home. They don't win tonight. It's lights out. It's over. And the Golden State Warriors automatically going to the playoffs. We can have some intrigue if the Houston Rockets do win tonight against the Golden State Warriors. Having said that, based on play the past 2 weeks and the seriousness of this game tonight, I'm going to trust the team that's a multi-time world champion to win a big game against a team like the Houston Rockets that, quite frankly, aren't used to being in this position and maybe hit the crest of their season about a week ago here. Give me the Golden State Warriors, even if it is going to be one of those, like, who's not going to take the Warriors tonight? I'll take them, Ben.
Both of these teams have played 75 games, six more left after tonight. But if Golden State wins, and they're favored to do so, even if the spread is relatively short, just 3.5 in favor of the Dubs, that's going to be a four-game margin for Golden State in front of Houston with six games remaining in this NBA regular season. It would take virtually a miracle for the Rockets to catch the Dubs for that 10 spot in the Western Conference. And Golden State got off to a great start following the All-Star break in their win. Wins, totals stayed under. In this five-game win streak, the Warriors have been under in four of five. For the Rockets, meanwhile, the offense has ramped up. They've been over an eight of their last 10. I'll just say this. I agree with the odds makers having Golden State as the favorite. If Golden State is going to win outright, I expect the game to stay under the total. Big one tonight in terms of postseason positioning inside Madison Square Garden. The New York Knicks and the Sacramento Kings. The Knicks right now in the five spot in the Eastern Conference. But between the Cavs, the Magic, and the Knicks, that's 3-4-5 in the Eastern Conference. Only a game separates those three teams. Sacramento DRS, just a half game behind both Phoenix and New Orleans. Phoenix, the sixth seed currently in the Western Conference. Nola in that seventh spot at the moment. So a big one, and that's reflected in a line. Just a 3.5-point spread in favor of the Knickerbockers, over-under 214. Expected to be a close game. Just how tight will it be tonight inside MSG?
Oh, it's going to be tight, no doubt about it. But also, I do think you're getting a lot of respect here for the Knicks. Now, granted, they are home here in the Sacramento Kings 3,000 miles away and aren't playing their best basketball now. But overall talent, the Kings have more talent tonight than the Knicks do. But you take a look at that line overnight opening up at -3.5 for the Knicks. Still sits there at the FanDuel Sportsbook this morning at a 3.5-point price. And also at low total here at 214. Looking at the anticipated starting lineups coming in tonight, the one thing that you'll know with the Knicks, they're still not getting their superstars back yet. Brunson, McBride, DiVincenzo, Hart, and Hartenstein. Stein, followed up here for Sacramento, Fox, Ellis, Barnes, Murray, and Sabonis. For me, it's more of a prop game overall. I would like to take the points with Sacramento, but I just like the way the Knicks win basketball games at home. And also, as you pointed out, this is a huge game for both of these teams in the standings. So it's not like one team's like, if we don't win tonight, it's not a big deal. They both really need these games. For me, it's been Dante DiVincenzo 3-point props. He's going to shoot at least 15. Can he make four of those? That's really the bet. And also, DeMontis Sabonis. It's not really about the double-double anymore. It's about the triple-double. But also, where do we like triple-doubles, Ben? When the total is 235, 240, 245. This is 215 in that mid-teens range. I don't know how many points we're getting, but the one thing I do know, DiVincenzo is going to be firing from three-point range. That's probably the best of it for me in this game. Just give me Dante to make a couple three-point shots tonight. He's going to take enough of them.
Listen, we knew Julius Randle was not playing in tonight's game for the Knicks. It was seeming dismal he would return at a certain point this season, but we just got the breaking news from ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. Julius Randle, after trying to rehab his shoulder for the past 2 months or so, will undergo season-ending right shoulder surgery. So now the Knicks will be without Julius Randle for the remainder of this season and their playoff push. The odds have not moved, though, so I think it was baked into the idea. It was pretty slim that Randle would play again this year. The Knicks still tied for that third best price with the Cavs and the Sixers at 12-1 to win the Eastern Conference, DRS.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm glad that news came out. It's kind of nice that we're talking about the Knicks at the same exact time. But I think if we rewind a couple of games ago, Josh Hart taking the mic after a game, like, hey, these wins are nice, and we're actually not expecting either one of these players to come back, which was news to me, as we were just thinking that it was a couple-week injury for both of those guys. So Anunoby was a great addition to the Knicks. You're not even going to reap the fruits of that benefit there. And, of course, Julius Randle, this was one of those teams we were eyeing up, saying, boy, if they can play this well with basically just two players on the court, wait till the stars come back and maybe they can make some headway here in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Doesn't look like that's going to be the case unless Brunson just goes all world. And what does that mean, Ben? Winning a playoff round at this point? Tough scene for Knicks fans out here. Hoping to get some of those players back. Looks like they're not going to get them.
Knicks on a three-game skid. They have gone over in five straight, which is unlike Tom Thibodeau and his New York team at its best. Over in seven of the last eight. Total tonight, 214 between Sacramento and New York inside the Garden. Philadelphia now has Joel Embiid back. They got a big victory at home over OKC in his return on Tuesday. How does it look tonight against the Miami Heat? Well, the Sixers, a three-point road underdog in South Beach. JoJo, though, expected to play for his second consecutive night. 26.5 is the points prop for Embiid.
Yeah, this is a lot of respect towards the Sixers here, getting 3 points. You say, well, why is that here? You take a look at who's actually playing. Maxey's supposed to be in the starting lineup tonight in the anticipated look, and so is Joel Embiid. Now, the question's going to be, is Joel Embiid improve on his first game back performance, which was quite good and played close to 30 minutes? If you get that type of Joel Embiid back with Tyrese Maxey in the lineup, I do think they're the better overall team than the Heat. But I'm just reading into those lines right now. They want you to take the Sixers. Embiid's back, Maxey's back here, but you still have a decent starting lineup anticipated tonight for those Miami Heat with Rozier, Duncan Robinson, Butler, Jovic, and Adebayo. I want to take the Sixers as a fan here. I want to believe Joel Embiid is going to be a great player tonight. But having said that, Maxey also coming back from injury, maybe too many question marks. I lean Heat tonight, but watch out. If the Sixers win this game, now take a game over the Heat. And again, we're talking about the standings here heading forth, where these two teams don't want to be in the play-in rounds. And maybe if the Pacers falter down the stretch, both of these teams can move up. We'll see what happens. But this is a monster game. Sixers win, they're going to press all in the remaining couple parts of these games here so they can try to get out of that play-in round. If they lose tonight, maybe a different approach down the stretch. We'll see.
Miami on a three-game win streak. They have covered in two of the three in one time. They push, winning by 12 as a closing 12-point favorite against the Wizards. They have also gone over in all three games on this win streak. But because of the three straight wins, they are 42-33, six more games after tonight. Indiana only has five more games this year. The Pacers also right now technically tied, but the Heat a slightly better win percentage, so they're in the sixth spot. Indiana in seven. But there's just a game and a half in front for both Miami and Indiana in front of Philadelphia. Could be a huge game. I'm intrigued by the line. Is the line incorrect, not taking into account the return of Embiid and maybe Tyrese Maxey? Or is it telling us something that there's still a ways to go for Philadelphia? Also tonight on the hardwood, the NIT final in Hinkle Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, the home of Butler. But tonight, an NIT champion will be crowned. Two teams not just playing for the NIT title, but for the right to say, we told you so, selection committee, we should have been in over Virginia. It's Indiana State and Seton Hall. The Sycamores, a 2.5-point favorite, total 159.5. Any thoughts on the NIT title game tonight between the Sycamores and the Pirates?
Simple thoughts here. Top 11 in the country at shooting the three-point shot is Indiana State. You take a look at Seton Hall. We'll defend it a little bit here, but lets you shoot it at 322 in the country. The only shame of this is that this game will be on TV. It should be fun to watch. But your boy lives in New Jersey, and Seton Hall's in New Jersey. Yeah. So apparently, sorry, I won't be able to partake in this game. Well, I would have loved to have bet three-point props for Indiana State, and I won't be able to do that. Larry Blurd, get out. Get after it, baby. Go ahead.
Do you want me to put in anything for you? No? I can.
That sounds like a legal tactic right now, Ben. You sure we're on TV or not right now?
Point. Allegedly. We'll talk to you in a moment.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line, rounding out these 3 hours on a Thursday, all across the Spiz Grizz Network. That is Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. DRS, before we go on this Thursday, it is time now for a best bet. Before we say farewell, before we say goodbye, it is time for bye bye bye. Donnie cannot bet Seton Hall because they are in New Jersey and he lives in New Jersey. I'll give you a best bet for that game. And just me, by the way. Only me. Nothing from Donnie on that one. So where else do you go on this Thursday evening?
I'm going to the Garden tonight. And the man they call affectionately Tay-Tay, it's Dante DiVincenzo. Why do we want him to do tonight? Shoot the three-point shot. He's going to get at least 15 here, Ben. Take a look at his last six games. Attempts, 13, 20, 12, 12, 16, and 15, which includes the last two of the past three games, made at least 6 three-point shots. I need to make 5 tonight at a plus 100. You might call Tay-Tay Taylor Swift. Not tonight, baby. Tay-Tay. Madison Square Garden. Don Tay-Tay DiVincenzo.
Hold on. Do they actually call him Tay-Tay? I just hit up our producer, Joe Frizzo, with a text message, and he said absolutely not.
Yep.
How did you? So if that's not a thing, though, how did you come up with it?
Yep.
How did that just come to you?
Right now, he makes five three-point shots. It's like Dante DiVincenzo. It's like, man, how can we just flow this into it here? It's Tay-Tay. Like, you know, you dap it up. Oh, what's good, Tay-Tay? What's good, my boy? There you go.
All right, Tay-Tay DiVincenzo tonight at the Garden making 5 or more threes. If he hits 5, if he hits 6, he's affectionately referred to as Tay-Tay here on the early line moving forward. DRS gave you the breakdown. The offense of the Indiana State Sycamores is just too good to stop right now. Lay the 2.5 with Indiana State in the NIT final. I also like the over of 159.5. Indiana State over in 7 of its last 8 games. They should have been in the Big Dance, and they prove it tonight in the NIT championship game against Hallball. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We'll see you tomorrow on a Friday, 8 a.m. Eastern time, live right here on the grid.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.